Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. It's Saturday, August 29th. I played pickleball last night with a few friends. It's a hybrid between tennis and table tennis. I'm not sure if you've played, but it's actually really fun. The courts were jam-packed with people, so much so that you were only allowed to play one game before having to sub out and wait like 20 more minutes for your group to play again. Pickleball is said to be the fastest growing sport in America, and it seems like it's true. There's so many different courts that have sprung up in neighborhoods, so I just wanted to dig into it and tell the story of pickleball. The origin, like many of the things, is interesting because it wasn't planned to be. In the summer of 1965, on Bainbridge Island in Washington, three dads had a problem. Their kids were bored. Joel Pritchard, who was a congressman at the time, Bill Bell, and Barney McCallum were spending the summer with their families on the island, and the children had run out of things to do. Pritchard suggested that they invented a new game. They found a badminton net in the garage with no shuttlecock, so they grabbed ping pong paddles and a wiffle ball. They set the net to 36 inches high, because that's how it happened to sit. Nobody deliberated over it. Nobody tested different heights. It was just what fit. The net height in official pickleball is still 36 inches today. The rules evolved the way that rules evolve when you're making up a game with children. Someone would say, "What if you couldn't hit the ball out of the air?" And then they added that. Someone else would say, "What about a zone near the net where you can't stand and smash it?" Well, that became the kitchen. It's wild that the kitchen rule, which is the one that makes pickleball strategy fundamentally different from any other racket sport, was actually just invented by children arguing about fairness. There is a long-running dispute about where the name came from. One story says that the Pritchard family dog was named Pickles, and he would chase the ball and run off with it, so they named the game after him. The other story is equally good. In crew, a pickle boat is a boat of leftover oarsmen, a motley of sorts of whoever didn't make the varsity boats. Since pickleball was cobbled together from leftover pieces of other sports, the name fit. The Pritchard family says that it was the boat story, but me personally, I think the dog one's better. Now let's talk about the growth story. 24.3 million Americans played pickleball in 2025, up from 4.2 million in 2020. That's 479% growth in 5 years, which is absolutely mind-blowing. There are now more than 82,000 pickleball courts in the United States. 14,000 new courts were added in 2024 alone. Cities are converting tennis courts, painting new lines in parks, and building dedicated facilities. The sport has attracted $315 million in professional investment, including a $225 million deal led by Apollo Sports Capital a few months ago that merged the two rival pro leagues into one organization. Sports do not grow like this. Baseball, basketball, football, they all grew over generations. Soccer in America has been the next big thing for the last 40 years and still hasn't cracked those numbers. But the interesting thing is that this growth story or this type of growth has happened before, and the sport was racquetball. In 1980, racquetball had 12 million players. It was called America's fastest growing sport as well. Courts were being built in every gym and country club in the country. The first world championship was held in 1981. The Olympic Committee classified it as a developing Olympic sport. Racquetball was literally everywhere. And by 2017, the numbers had fallen drastically to 3.5 million players. Most of those courts had since been ripped out and converted into yoga studios and spin rooms. Three things killed pickleball. The first was the equipment. Better rackets and faster balls meant shorter rallies, which made the actual playing experience worse, especially for beginners. When a sport becomes intimidating to learn, it stops getting new players. I don't know if you remember the learning episode, but this goes hand in hand with that. The second issue was television. The ball moved too fast for cameras to track, and the rallies were too short to build drama. So the sport could never really build a spectator audience or a professional ecosystem that paid for itself. And the third was the court. Racquetball required an indoor court, which meant expensive real estate and a membership to access. When gyms realized that they could make more money per square foot converting those courts into other activities, they did. It's always about the money, isn't it? The comparison is almost too clean. Pickleball right now looks exactly like racquetball did in 1980. The question is whether it ends the same way. So, why might things be different this time around? Well, there's a few things that are actually working in pickleball's favor that racquetball never had. The first is that you don't need a membership to play. You don't need even a dedicated court. All you need is a flat surface and a net. Parks, driveways, community centers, converted tennis courts, the floor of a gymnasium, all of those can become pickleball courts. The barrier to entry is about as low as a sport can get. Racquetball died because it was locked behind gym memberships and expensive indoor real estate. Pickleball sidesteps all of that entirely. It's social in a way that racquetball never was. Doubles in pickleball is actually the default format. The court is small enough that you can walk and talk to your partner between points, and the skill floor is low enough that someone who has never really played can still rally with someone who has been playing for years. The participation data shows strong numbers across every age group, from 18 to 65 and older. That cross-skill, cross-age appeal is very rare. And by the way, on the playability part of pickleball, I very much agree with that. I grew up playing table tennis, and I don't know, table tennis was always that sport where no matter who it was, they, one, could always rally with you, and two, they always thought that they'd be able to pick it up or be better pretty quickly. Like, I think most people played table tennis during Thanksgivings, and so they're like, oh yeah, you know, I've played before. Pickleball very much gives me that vibe. Someone can walk onto a court and be like, oh, I can pick this up, I can play, and I think that's what makes it great. But let's move on, because the other thing about pickleball is that it's actually watchable. The ball is bright, the pace is human-readable, and the rallies build tension. Whether that translates into a sustainable professional league is still an open question. The $315 million bet from Apollo and others assumes that it will. And if that bet does pay off, pickleball has a media revenue stream that racquetball never had. And even if the professional side of pickleball never picks up and takes off, it really doesn't matter, because the recreational side of pickleball is big enough that the sport probably survives anyway, just might not have the ESPN deals and the big salaries and stuff like that. When I was out there last night, I wasn't thinking about any of this. I was just having fun, and I think that's the most important part about pickleball. People are just playing because it's fun and easy, and it doesn't really matter if you're 25 or 65. You can get out there and play. I'm going to close this one out with a tip. If you want to get into pickleball and you don't want to have to wait a long time for courts, I highly suggest that you just get your own net. Because like I said earlier, you can set it up pretty much anywhere, on tennis courts, on gym floors, etc. And there's some areas in parks that are deemed pickleball courts. They just don't have a net. My friends and I experienced this last night, actually. Had we brought our own net, we could have played for hours without having to sub out. So anyways, stay informed, stay curious, try pickleball, and we'll see you tomorrow.